When we begin saying that we have two distinct natures, we have tabi'a and we have fitra, our minds will immediately begin to suggest that these two are separate entities and I can choose one and leave the other. I want fitra, I do not want tabi'a. So we need to establish first and foremost that while you are in this plane of existence, in this alien body, before you return home, you cannot separate these two natures. They are distinct, but they are like two sides of a coin. Because if you look at the history of human beings as the strove to find spirituality and enlightenment, because they did not distinguish between tabi'a and fitra, and they simply talked of human nature, they tried to transcend human nature by plucking out tabi'a from themselves, by saying, I do not want to have the desire for food. I do not want any sexual desire in my body. This has been the approach of some mystics in the past. And what we want to say is that this is impossible, because while you have a body, the body will demand its needs no matter what. If you deny it its demands, it will become perverse, it will change, it will skew, but it will still demand. The body is driven by tabi'a, and tabi'a has three motives. It wants to seek pleasure, it wants to flee from pain, and it wants to survive. And in order to survive, it must be selfish. In India, there are Hindu mystics or sages, some of whom are called yogis, for example. What they try and do is they try and torment their body in order to free it from physical desire. For example, they might dig a hole and bury themselves up to their necks and stay like that for days on end. What are they trying to do? A couple of weeks back, I came across some documentation and some video. There are some individuals who are from these Tamil Tigers who have now repented for the crimes they committed against humanity. In order to express their remorse and their repentance, what they do is every year, they take a truck with a crane at the back, and from the crane, there are iron hooks that hang, and the hooks are put on their skin at the back. Don't go searching for this video if you are faint of heart, because you will faint. It suspends them with the hooks from their skin, their legs, their hands. And then they take iron skewers and they poke it through their cheeks from one side to the other. And as the truck moves from village to village, the crane bounces. And when they're interviewed afterwards to say, why do you do this to yourself? They say, because this body has committed crimes against humanity. It has killed innocent children. So we are now making up for it by punishing this body to teach it a lesson so that it does not do this again and to show our true repentance. What they are trying to do is to punish tabi'a. Tabi'a cannot comprehend things like justice, things like fairness, things like equity. This is for fitra to understand. And it is not just in this faith. Look at the history of monasticism amongst the Catholics, for example. In Catholicism, way back, maybe centuries ago, 19th century somewhere, some of the pious Catholics, priests, decided that the cause of our constantly committing sins and constantly succumbing to temptation is our sexual desire. We need to fight this. So in order to do this, we will abandon society, we will go into the desert, we will build a monastery, and we will say that marriage is a necessary evil. You should get married only if you just absolutely have to. But if God has inspired you with spirituality, and if you have the capacity to strive for higher ranks, and you wish to become like the angels, then you should not get married. And therefore celibacy became an integral part of being a monk. Several decades down, what is the result of that today? You keep hearing of stories of young boys being abused, young girls being abused in these monasteries. Why? Because again, it is an attempt to deny the body its need. It is unnatural to fight tabi'a in this manner, because the body will demand what it wants. We sometimes have to adapt to different circumstances because of the society we live in, but the body will not stop for us. For example, in the past, our children got married at a younger age. Perhaps they got married when they were late teens, early 20s. Now, because mashallah, there is opportunities for education, they do their undergraduate, they do their graduate, they do their PhD, they study. So we wait, as if the body will wait. We say, let them get their PhD, let them get a good job, let them start earning six figures, let them establish themselves, and then they will get married. trust me, their bodies is not waiting. Because you as a parent are neglecting it and thinking there is time, or because you and I have crossed an age where we have some sort of control of our desires, it does not change for a young man. He is going to Google on the internet and he is going to get into trouble because his body will still demand its needs. It is driven by tabia, unless you have a unique child on your hands who has realized the importance of fitra. So what we are trying to say here is that tabi'a cannot be plucked from us. It cannot be taken out. It cannot be thrown out. You cannot say, because I want to become more pious, I'm going to starve my body and stop eating. Try it if you want. See how long it lasts. Nothing will give you as great an illusion as the first few hours of a diet. And then you begin to realize. Now, there is a difference between a person who might eat less or fast excessively because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are incidents like this amongst the Anbiya, amongst the A'imma, amongst the Mu'mineen and the Ulama as well, that when they attain a certain rank of spirituality, because they completely disidentify from the physical body and it is of much less importance to them, and there is a loss of interest in that, and they gain a certain amount of energy from spiritual sources, they don't have that sort of an appetite for food. This you and I can understand in a simple example, like when a young man falls in love with a girl. You will see that one of the signs of that falling in love is he loses his appetite. It is in similar terms, except that a mystic has fallen in love with Allah, and that is real love. So not eating or eating less out of a spiritual reason is something else. But to say, I will fight my body and I will starve my body and I will deny it food, that is not going to work. Because that is an attempt to punish tabi'a, and tabi'a will not accept that. So tabi'a is not evil in itself. It is only evil when it becomes excessive. If it is controlled and reined in, it is a good thing. It is not evil. And this is where Islam shows its beauty, how Islam is a moderate religion. Islam will not accept monasticism. Islam, on the other hand, will not accept excessive materialism. It will take a middle path. It will never ask you to do something that is unnatural to your physical body. Thank you.